Hello, happy site owners, and welcome to the Bloggate interview series, where I'll be chatting with my clients and online entrepreneurs about what it takes to run a successful site. And today I am delighted to have visibility expert Denise Waitman and her adventuresome spirit on the inaugural podcast. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Well, thank you, Man. I'm very excited to be speaking with you in this way, in this context.
Yeah, I am thrilled about it. I know you have such an adventurous spirit about it. Let's try it, you know, if it's new and doing it. And we're doing this on Google Voice, if y'all are interested. And so this is the first one that we've done, and I was just thrilled that Denise was ready to come on and do this with me, because you don't mind trying out new things, do you?
No, I don't. I love to, as a matter of fact.
Well,
I'll be wanting to hear from you how it works.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of my folks who, you know, they already know who you are. In fact, I think that they'd have to be living under a rock to not have encountered you online, because you're everywhere because of that adventuresome spirit. And let's try it. If it's new, let's get on there and try it and see what comes of it. But before we dive too far in, could you give us a little taste of what you do, just in case they haven't heard about you?
Just in case, I primarily work with entrepreneurs and small business owners to help them create a powerful, visible presence on the web. So whatever that looks like for them, help them create that presence, whether it's through content marketing, visual marketing, combination, getting their newsletter going, whatever it is, you know, we get it going and help them attract a bigger audience, and so they can build their business.
And you save people from closing their businesses, too. Just in the nature of full disclosure, you know, I want everybody to know that I'm one of Denise's clients and she's one of mine at this point. And you know, back, I think it was, what, 2 years ago, Denise, that I called and I said, look, I've got to go big or go home. I'm at this place with Bloggate and this is it for me. Either I make this work or I just have to shut it down. I can't keep going like this because I'm working myself to death and I'm not getting where I need to be. And you and I worked for what, 6 months?
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
And I mean, I was hard at it with the things that you were telling me to do, and it helped turn the business to the point where it's like, oh wow, it's starting to catch fire with other people, and all this backlog of great stuff I've done, people are actually seeing it now. So, you know, visibility and getting caught like that, it's not about just doing great work. It's getting enough people to see it. And it makes a lot of difference. And so y'all can thank Denise for the fact that Bloggate still exists and that I am doing well. You know.
Well, you know, it was like such a thrill for me to see you just break out too. I mean, I was just like cheering and jumping up and down and doing happy dance, you know, with every success that you've been creating over the last 2 years, because you worked it. You worked it. It's, you know, you did the work. So that's the thing.
Absolutely, but needed that help to get over that edge, you know, to make it a real go. So, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, and one of the reasons that I came to you, is because you've been at this longer than just about anybody I know. You've seen it. You've done it. You've tried it. You've been there. And you survived to tell the story. So
I'm still doing it.
Right, and that's why I wanted to interview you so much, and especially first, because of your perspective. It's very unique. From having tried so much, but also seeing so many things come and go. And then you've also worked solo, and you've worked with others. You've done joint ventures. You've done all kinds of different sorts of setups. So I think your perspective is very unique to help a broad audience with that. So when did you launch your first site?
1997.
Well,
early 1997. It was a very basic HTML, you know, 5-page site, basically, because that's, you know, what people were doing. And it was with my former husband. We launched a business coaching practice, and we knew we needed a site because we were living out in the boonies of Eastern Ontario, Canada. I shouldn't say that. I loved living there, but, you know, it was very isolated.
You're
right. We knew we had to reach beyond our local area to get clients, and in order to do that, we needed to have a web presence, and that was really at the early days. I mean, a lot of people didn't even have email addresses then, so that's how early it was.
Well, I remember that's when I first started coding. I mean, and you had to have a coder to have a site.
Yeah, and we had a friend who was just launching a web design business. So we traded, you know, business coaching for web design, and he taught me a lot of the, you know, HTML code, so I could go in and, you know, add a new sentence by myself, because even then, you know, I knew I didn't want to have to wait 3 months to have a sentence changed.
And because of truth, I mean, DIY really came with that part of the, you know, back in those days,
yeah.
DIY was part of it, and you had to know a little bit of code to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And it served me well, because, you know, every now and then you still need that little bit of code, you know,
right.
Every now and then these days, it's not all, that's, you know, push and play or whatever they call it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, back when, you know, you had one site that you'd start with, but it soon became evident when everybody got into the domain game that you mm-hmm. had to have a new domain for every business idea, and people just started hoarding these things like crazy, didn't they?
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. I didn't really get into that until when I started my own business after my husband and I split up. You know, he took that original business and domain and everything. So it was only when I started, you know, on my own, and that was in 2002-ish, 2002-2003. And you know, domains are so cheap, you know, you think about it, it's like $6, $7, $8 for a domain. So if you had an idea, you bought the domain, right? And it wasn't like it is now where you want everything to be sort of, you know, collected in a hub, but everything, you know, you just created something new for everything. It kind of got out of control. I'm now in the process all these years later, so like 13 years later, 15 years later, whatever, of, you know, letting domains go, finally. It's like, okay, yeah. I don't need that. I don't use it. I'm never going to use it ever again. So, yeah.
Well, it gets expensive after a while, too, to just keep those things that you're not putting into play anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And there's still the every now and then, you know, that old habit dies hard. It's like, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to grab the domain just in case. So I typically will only buy something for a year to see if it's going to, you know, turn into something. And I often let things go after a year. But then I've had some that I've been hanging on to for 10, 15 years. So,
right. Well, tell us about that, because you don't know what's going to take off some days. You hope and you put some energy in it, but poof, it could just go viral.
It could, or it could do nothing. Yeah. The thing that I realize now regarding domains is that, you know, once you get very clear on your business and what your business model is, and sometimes we don't know, and that's why we're trying things and throwing spaghetti at the wall and, you know, putting up sites all over the place. But, you know, once you do get clear on what you're doing, then I think it's a lot, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I think you agree with me, is that it's better to put it all into one hub. And what I'll frequently do is just redirect an easy domain to a page on my site now. So it's like I have a page for my mentoring program on my site, but instead of using denisewagman.com/mentor-with-denise-, you know, whatever, you know, I just do mentorwithdenise.com and forward it to that page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes it real easy for people to remember, too.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what I'm going for, is like what's easy to remember. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I've seen you do that with a few things that you're promoting specifically.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And it's all still under one roof. It's not like you have another site to maintain for security and, you know,
exactly.
all the performance and all those different things. And it's just a page, you know, a page worth. And then if you want to take people behind that page to other things, well, fine. You just have links, you know,
exactly.
from there.
Exactly.
And links anyway. You don't need them in your navigation necessarily and that sort of thing. So it's almost like a landing page specifically
right.
for whatever you're promoting.
Exactly, exactly. So, like, if I have a special program that I'm doing, you know, then I create a landing page, but it's on my site. It's a page on my site, and that's what I do. And, yeah, I also use a redirect plugin for that as well. You know, kind of depends on what I'm doing. So it could be denisewakeman.com/challenge for my online visibility challenge. And, you know, that just makes it easier. You know, that may not be the page URL, but I just want to make it as easy as possible for people to remember. And I think that's the big lesson that I've learned over the years is keep it simple. You know, just simplify, and having things under one roof does that for me.
Right, and pretty links are just as effective as another domain and a whole lot cheaper.
Exactly.
Yeah, that works out really well. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to get into is you coming down from all of those different sites, because, you know, that's when you became my client, was,
right.
You know, taking down all of those different things in an ordered way so that you don't lose your traffic and SEO and everything that you have built with those. What has that been like for you on the traffic side and the SEO side and trying to move your audience from one type of business over to another and follow you no matter where you go?
Well, I think that has come organically in terms of people following me around, because I am very active, you know, on all the social networks too. So, you know, just giving, you know, sort of providing a new path for them to go to, I never saw any negative effect there, because I've moved, because of the kind of business I have, which is a consulting business, is that it's under my name, so it's easier for people to remember. I don't even use my formal business name anymore because, you know, it just doesn't make sense for me at this point. So in terms of traffic, I never noticed any, you know, downturn in traffic. It's just, you know, you just give new links. You just give new URLs to people and they just go where you send them. And they knew it was me because I keep it very well branded that it's my site. In terms of SEO, I, again, never really noticed anything negative, but, you know, I will confess that I'm not the best at keeping track of my stats that way.
Well, that really speaks to the power then of your presence on social media in these other platforms, that besides your site, you had a way to get to people directly and send them to other places.
Yes. Well, and that also goes to, you know, one of the foundational pieces of online marketing, and that's having an email list. Because it doesn't matter where I am online, as long as I have an email address, I can say, okay, I'm moving, go here. Or I have this new thing, go there. Or, you know, that kind of thing. So the email list is really a very strong foundational piece that I encourage everyone to be, you know, integrating into their online presence.
How do you collect emails on your site? Do you use, because, you know, my audience is going to want to be site focused, not necessarily just marketing focused. They want the technical details of everything.
Okay.
So have you seen that change? What are you using, like pop-ups and ethical bribes as a giveaway and different things that you've used? Have you seen that be effective? You know, what kinds of things have been most effective for you? And then things like Google changing their guidelines so that pop-ups are not necessarily good, or you have to do them in a certain way. Have you seen that change?
Okay, I've never used pop-ups, so I can't really speak to that, although I do know, you know, from my study and experience with other people that pop-ups are still very effective. I see them on, you know, so many sites still, so they've got to be working, otherwise people wouldn't use them. But I personally don't use them. I find that, you know, what's evolved is that was putting your opt-in and with an ethical bribe, usually because people want something, you know, usually that gets better results to give some kind of free report, free video, free something, free blog updates. I mean, it could be that simple too. And the standard was always it's got to be in the top right corner, you know, the top right sidebar. That I've noticed is changing a lot with these new responsive sites. And I don't know what the style is called where everything is kind of stacked, you know, where it just kind of keeps changing as you scroll down. I don't know what kind of site that's called.
Fully responsive.
Fully responsive?
Mm-hmm, okay. Where it reorders itself. And,
yeah,
and you
okay.
can have certain things, you know, be on your site that don't show in the mobile version, you know, and place them in the order that you want things to show, too.
Okay. Well, I know I've noticed as I've seen people moving in that direction of those that style of site that the opt-in is often no longer, like, at the top anymore, that people are moving more towards a, you know, give value, and then later on ask for the email address. So those are two different ways that people are doing it. Also adding more opt-ins on your site. So rather than just one in the top right sidebar, which becomes invisible after a while, especially for your repeat visitors, they're not going to see it after a while. You know, and they may not have even opted in the first or second or third or tenth time, but then they just ignore it. So putting opt-ins in different areas of your site, too, like on your about page and on a specific landing page so that you can direct people straight to that opt-in, you know, give them a specific URL for that opt-in. On blog posts, it's now pretty standard to see an opt-in at the end of the blog post, whereas when I first started blogging in 2004, you did not see that at all. So it's having more opportunities so that no matter where someone is, they have that invitation from you.
Mm-hmm. And I think comments really took over, you know, big on social media and things too, that's mm-hmm. changed it. People get to the bottom of your post and go no further because they're not leaving a comment on the post now as much as they're leaving it on the social media site where they found it in the first place.
That is so huge. That is a gigantic change. There are still some sites that get a lot of comments, but then there's also a trend where some really big sites have just turned them off completely and they're encouraging the conversation to go onto social. You know, Copyblogger is a big example of that. And I've noticed that they've been testing where they send people originally they were sending people to Google+ to comment. Now they're sending people to LinkedIn and not Google+ at all. So it's interesting to watch that, but definitely commenting has changed. And I think people are commenting less because they're interacting more on social, as you're saying.
So you're almost getting to the point now with social media that relationship marketing has always mm-hmm. been on social media. I mean, that's when it hit its heyday when social media really got going. And you've got to, as much as you nurture that sort of thing there, you've got to send people back to your site to see these other offers you've got, like your opt-in and the other mm-hmm. things that you may be promoting.
Yes, absolutely. You have to do that. You cannot rely on social media to convert to sales. It can happen and it can work. You need to be need to be willing to invest in that to some degree in advertising, but sending people back to your site is critical. So, and that's another reason why it's a good idea to keep that as your hub for all your landing pages as well, I think, mm-hmm. because then you can, you know, on a thank you page, you can redirect to specific articles that support whatever that, you know, landing or that offer that you made was and that sort of thing.
What I've been telling my clients, you know, in training and consulting too, is on their site when they're either building a new site or revamping another one, is you can have 10 conversion points, the same conversion point 10 times. On mm-hmm. a site, on a page, a single page where they're looking in the sidebar and the footer, all of it. And people will be lucky if they see it maybe twice.
Exactly.
I mean, there is no such thing as overdoing it these days, especially when you're on mobile.
Exactly.
Have you moved to doing things like inside your content itself? When we're looking at ROI for performance on a mm-hmm. site and looking at plug-in hogs and things like that, like popular posts.
Mm-hmm.
Showing that's a performance hog. But if you want people to see more of your content, are you getting to where inside your content you're putting links to more of your things?
So internal links to other content? Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Is that
absolutely.
Working for you? Are people staying on your site and jumping around from post to post to post, reading those things better, you think, than the maybe the popular post plugins that on mobile, they may never even see that widget.
Yeah, I think that that definitely works better because it is integrated. So it makes more sense to have it integrated. And also the other thing was the related posts, you know, having that on the, you know, we took that off. And, you know, it was only after you said, you know, like nobody's even clicking on these things.
Right. I mean, you have to have ROI because, Denise, you know just as well as I do that 2 or 3 years ago, all of the gurus were saying these are the things that you need to have on your site to get people
right.
to stay on the site longer, which is a ranking factor, and
mm-hmm.
and have more page views, which is a ranking factor. But those days are pretty much over as far as, especially on mobile.
Yeah.
And people aren't actually clicking those things, so it's really worthwhile to go back and look at your marketing efforts on your site and all this stuff that we were supposed to have.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think is one of the biggest lessons or takeaways for most people is that it doesn't stay the same. You've got to be willing to evolve and change. And I mean, just like you wouldn't want, I would be embarrassed to have a site that looked like the one from 1997, even though at the time it was a beautiful site. It was very spare and minimal, but, you know, very effective. But now it'd be like a joke, right? So you have to keep evolving. And, you know, that's something that you're so good at is, you know, keeping us up to date, your clients up to date on what's new and what's working and what's not working, because I don't have time to keep up on that stuff. I mean, I try to some degree, but, you know, to have that information flowing into me helps me make better decisions. And that's what we all need to be doing as business owners who have websites, which all of them should.
Let's talk about that. You know, because I think that's really huge. You do a lot of consulting with non-techie people.
Yes.
And you're not a tech. You say it over and over yourself that you've been outsourcing this for a while. I mean, you learn what you need to learn, like you did with your HTML site back when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But by the same token, your expertise is somewhere else.
Yes. Absolutely.
But a lot of people starting up are saying, well, I can't afford. And you just said that when you first started, you bartered it.
Yes.
So there are ways to get this done and do it well and make it safe, but it is a business expense. I mean, it's not an expense. It's a business investment. There are just certain costs that you need to expect. Tell us about your journey with that and what you see in your consulting, the resistance that people have to spending money on that kind of business investment.
Well, I think that part of what happens is that because there's not like a direct, like they can't see the direct link between spending the money and, you know, getting the money back in, you know, through, you know, for whatever, in whatever way that they're doing it, that's where some resistance come in. I also think that a lot of people, a lot of web developers, are overpriced and don't deliver, and that a lot of people have had bad experiences. And so they are afraid. It's also a big job to, you know, have somebody else do your stuff, but then it's an even bigger job and a worse job to do it yourself, to have to learn it. So unfortunately, what happens is that people don't do anything, or they just stick with the old clunky thing that they started with. And, you know, when I meet with clients about their online presence, you know, they think, this has happened so many times. Like, oh, we're going to talk about how to get more visibility. And then, you know, in the first meeting, I start looking at what they have, their current situation. And I said, well, before we can do anything, you have to fix your site.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't work. It's not optimized. It's old. It looks terrible. You know, I try to be nice about it, but, you know, the essence of the conversation, you know, they don't have ways for people to opt in. Things don't work. Like, I'll go around and start clicking on stuff. That's the first thing I do, is just start clicking on links and navigation. And I would say at least 50 to 60% of the time I find broken pages, broken links, and I go back and say, have you checked your site lately? Like, do you ever check your own links? And, oh, no, no. You know, I thought they were working. It's like, well, they're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think
this happened with a client the other day. You know, I got an email. I clicked on a link because I wanted to see how she was doing it, you know, doing the process that was in the email, and it didn't work. And she had sent it out to her list.
And that's why we always test first.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but doesn't everybody live under the cobbler's children thing of I'm focused somewhere else, I'm not even looking at my own site, I'm focused on the content or the next program that I'm doing. I mean, my gosh, Denise, you're coming out with a new thing all the time. And so, you know, that's where your focus needs to stay. But I think it's safe to say that since 1997, you've probably gone through, what, 10 or 15 site design processes and keeping
probably,
up and changing over. You know,
yeah.
What has that been like for you? Because you don't want to go focus on that stuff. You want to keep up with the new, you know, what you're making money on. And I think we all suffer from that. But what's that been like for you to just have to stop and dedicate yourself to say, this is a big thing, but it has to be done?
Mm-hmm. Well, I usually wait longer than I should before I actually take action on it. Mm-hmm. And for many years, I did do it myself because I knew enough to be dangerous, as they say. And, you know, I was like, well, why should I spend money? I mean, I have the same thing. Why should I spend money when I can figure it out myself? But, you know, there comes a point where you don't know everything. I definitely do not know everything. And, you can, if you're not willing to make that investment now, then you're going to end up with, you know, something that doesn't work well and that doesn't serve you and doesn't serve your audience. And, you know, that's the conversation I usually end up having with a client because I came to that realization, you know, probably later than I should have, but that's just my nature too, because going back to that wanting to experiment with everything, I want to try it first, you know, but, most people aren't like me, so good thing. but it is an investment, and it is a big deal to make sure it works right. You know, there is this misconception that all you have to do is click install and you have a WordPress site. You know, that's like so wrong. There's so much more than that. And if you want it to actually represent your business in an appropriate way that, you know, your professionalism, your thought leadership, you know, who you are as a business professional, then you need to make sure that you have someone who knows what they're doing, you know, helping you or working on your site for you.
Mm-hmm. And in this day and age with security, being what it is, and that going hand in hand with performance, which Google's all over now, and site load time makes so much difference now that running clean and lean is more important than it's ever been.
Yeah, and see, that wasn't even something that was in my consciousness until you brought it up and were like, oh, Denise, this, your site is crazy. And yeah, it was crazy. It probably still is crazy, but you know, step by step. But yeah, I mean, I never thought about that. I'd be like, oh, I'd read something like, oh, you need this plugin to, you know, keep people from logging in. Okay, I'll install that. You know, that was my security.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and I think that's true of everybody. You know, it's an awareness thing that has to be built, and the more people that get hacked, it's like your neighbor getting broken into next door. It's like, ooh, I better beef up mine now. You know, it's getting closer to home and coming into people's awareness. And it takes time for that. But one of the things about you being adventuresome with this and needing to run clean and lean now is you have to think twice maybe about that new plugin that you want to add that has some whiz-bang feature on it, right?
Yes, I do. And you have no idea how many times I've stopped myself since I've started working with you. You don't even know. Or I'll ask you first. But because it's they're so shiny. You know, it's that shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh, that's going to do this and that's going to do that. And then, but, you know, if you really stop and think about it, often whatever it is that thing is saying it's going to do may already be being done on your site and you just don't know it, or it's unnecessary, or there's that conflict that's going to come up. I mean, that's certainly happened to me many times, and like everything stops working. Well, that's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And to be in touch with what plugins you've already got to make sure that you're not, because some of them are getting very complex now where they don't do just one thing, they do multiple things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that part of, you know, especially in my case, is that, you know, not only was I doing it myself, before I started working with you, somebody else was working on my site. And it took me too long to withdraw from that arrangement. And I think, I mean, they put stuff on there. I didn't even know what it was, you know. And now I look at it and go, what does that do? I don't know. Well, if I take it off, is something going to break? You know, I don't know, because I didn't know why it was there to begin with. And so that's something to be careful about, too.
Well, I want to talk about that, because there's a lot of folks who are, they really just want to outsource the whole thing. They want to be completely hands-off. They put their trust entirely into somebody. And, you know, if you're not a geek, if you haven't been in the business or whatever, you may not have the experience, because you've been so hands-off your site, to vet the person that you're hiring, that they actually know what they're doing. And it's like, well, no news is good news.
Yeah.
And you know, if you get too far away from it, you get into this kind of trouble.
Yeah, I think that it's really important that you have some knowledge of what's going on your site and not just hand it over blindly. And, you know, I think that comes partially because that's my own approach, is that I like to know how things work. I want to know what it does. And I have a concern about stepping too far back, you know, that if something happened, I wouldn't be able to get in and fix it myself, which, you know, has been a part of my MO, is that I do that. But I think in a way that's almost better than having absolutely zero knowledge and not even wanting to log in. You know, there's also that person's like, oh, like if I just want to put in my content, I don't know what anything else does. It's like, but then that's what I think gets you in trouble too.
Well, Denise, let's really hone in on that one thing, because you consult, and you know that if people aren't entirely in what they're doing, then they don't know how to make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know the techniques and the different things, if they just outsource all of it to say, like, well, I'm going to launch this podcast. You help people with that. You help authors, too. And it's like, I'm going to launch this podcast, but I really don't want to know anything about how to deal with the site, or I really don't want to know anything about social media. I just want to do the podcast.
Well,
I mean, they can't go along with that, can they? Very well.
No, they can't. No, they can't. And, you know, and that's my job, to make sure that they understand that having some working knowledge of their thing, whatever it is to their benefit. And gives them more power, too, and intelligence about what they're doing. Because if you just outsource everything without any oversight, or even just somebody saying, hey, Denise, this is what this does. You don't need to have to deal with it, but this is what it does and why. Then at least you have some intelligence about what you're doing, and it is your business. So I think it's your responsibility to know what is happening and how it works and why it works, so that you can be, you know, proactive and intelligent about dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I have an agreement with my designers that I send them people who know WordPress, they know Genesis, they have all their content ready, they have their goal in mind, their exact goal that they want to meet, have picked out a structure that's going to help them meet that.
Mm-hmm.
And then have theme specs in hand of, I want these colors and these fonts. And it's a dream, you know, to my designers are like, whoa, that exists. And so, you know, you would do the same thing with your people,
right,
to get them to that point of, you really have to know this much, and you have to be aware of SEO. You have to be aware of performance and security. Not that, you, I mean, those are at least some of it you can outsource, but you have to be aware.
Right. You need to have a basic understanding of how your business operates. And part of how your business operates in this digital world is knowing, you know, how your site functions and why it does what it does and how it's going to serve you. Because if you hand that over to someone who, you know, may be a designer but not a marketer, you know, you might end up with something pretty, but it doesn't function the way it's supposed to for meeting your goals, as you say. So, you know, It's the business owner's responsibility to understand how it flows and works, and abdicating that, to me, is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. And also knowing, understanding enough about things like hosting. I heard one developer say that, you know, they say somebody spend $3,000 on a site design and then put it on $3 hosting. And it's just, you know, it's like having a performance car with crappy tires or mm-hmm. something. And so there are different aspects where you don't really want to skimp on things
right.
like security and a good host and some of these things that you may not know. Some of it you get what you pay for, and you have to watch it about price and then find somebody maybe that you trust to help you vet things that you don't know about.
Right, and certainly there's no way that we all could know all these things. So, you know, like you're saying, you've got to find somebody that you trust. Well, how do you do that? You know, and that's where, you know, asking the people you know already, because somebody is going to turn you on to somebody else that, you know, has that expertise and who may be either willing to talk to you or at least have a short consult with you to give you the information that you need. You know, saying I don't know or I don't want to know, again, goes back to just abdicating from the running your business in the best way possible. And, you know, I don't know everything about, like, I don't know anything about, you know, security. Well, I know more now because of you, because you keep me informed, you know. But, you know, if you weren't on my team, I would say, okay, you know, I would maybe throw it out on social media and say, okay, I need to talk to a website security expert. Who do you recommend? And then I'd start doing my research, you know, mm-hmm. and it's as simple as that. We have the tools here, you know, at our fingertips to find out anything we want to know now. So there's no
right.
excuse not to.
Let's visit about your team and
okay.
how much people have turned into specialists instead of generalists now. Because, you know, back in the day, I covered code and then marketing and social media. And I had to start deciding what I was going to cover because all of it changed too much. There was too much to keep up with. And as more platforms came online, it just got to be all too much. So mm-hmm. is it really important to go to people who specialize in something now?
I think it depends on what it is, honestly. You know, also in the olden days, you could have a VA who would update your website and, you know, do your customer service and, you know, all that. But now I find that, you know, that kind of specialization is really important. Like, you are an expert in what you do. And I feel very confident that my site is in good hands and you're going to keep me informed and you're going to do everything possible to keep it up and running, you know, within reason. That you can control. You know, my VA who I've been working with for almost 5 years, you know, she's great at, you know, keeping me scheduled and, you know, editing and stuff like that. It would be stupid for me to say, hey, could you make sure my site's secure? You know, that's not her specialty at all. So in some ways, yes, but taking that out again, it's like, I don't think you need to go to, like, to learn Pinterest, go to a Pinterest expert. And then if you want to learn Google Plus, go to a Google Plus expert. Yes, you can do that, but you might be able to put, you know, social media under one roof too. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, it depends again, but people do specialize in different areas. And the way I look at it is that when you're just starting out, you can get the basics, a basic overview, and then when you find what you really love to do, then you can go look for the expert in that thing, that specialist in that thing, if you really want to just go ninja mastery on it.
Mm-hmm. And then resell your services, the ninja.
Exactly. There you go.
Once you get to that level and start walking what you learned, you know,
yeah.
then, yeah, you're at that level too.
Yep.
I want to ask you and we're coming down, you know, to the end of our time and just
sure.
scratching the surface on what you've experienced online. If you had to just start all over with everything, mm-hmm. all the power of everything that you know today and the way things are today, because that's going to change tomorrow, of course,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you're, let's be frugal about stuff. You know, there's places to spend money and not skimp. And then there are places where you're crazy if you spend too much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to start all over today, what would you do? How would you approach a new site and set up and the whole thing?
Knowing what I know now, what I would do is probably start closer to where I am now. So look at my site as a bigger hub versus having lots of different sites, you know, like I was doing. So I would build out my hub first and, or, you know, foundational site. My advice always to people starting out, and I would take my own advice, is that you start with what's free generally, not for hosting, obviously, but, you know, for tools that you're thinking about using. Start with the free version and see if you like it. So rather than just throwing money at stuff, test things and experiment until you find the right thing for yourself. And I would probably be a little, I would look at how I could be more intentional with the content that I create. Because I've been kind of a generalist, you know, evolving along with everything, you know, and that's what a lot of people like about me. I know a lot about a lot of things. I'm not, you know, like the ninja master on everything, but, you know, I know a lot about a lot of things, but probably I would hone in a little bit more. And really focus on getting that message out.
That is such great advice, just to hone in and focus.
Yeah.
On what you've got going. Instead, I think the more you narrow these days, not necessarily an absolute specialist, but,
right.
You know, be a little broader because you've got to have multiple streams of income. You can't.
Right.
You just can't put your eggs all in one basket anymore, I don't think. It changes too fast. But also, I would say, I would add to that, your willingness to try new things and be open-minded about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it selectively, but the willingness to change.
That's a big thing. It's a big thing. And, you know, it's only in the last couple of years that I really realized that that was one of my biggest strengths, is that I'm willing to try stuff. You know, I'd always been doing that, but I didn't realize that I was doing it, you know, because it came so naturally to me. So then it kind of, it became like visible to me, you know, like, oh, this is one of the reasons I've been successful, because I experiment and I have an open mind and I don't get freaked out when things change. You know, every time Facebook changes, you know, it's like, why are they changing it on me? And it's like, hey, Facebook doesn't owe you anything, you know, just go with it. You know, why get all worked up about it? Usually those changes are for the best. You know, we may not see it right at that moment, but they're changing for a reason. So, you know, you could save yourself a lot of grief and agony. You just say, okay, how do I do it now?
Mm-hmm. And be opportunistic about, you know, making the most of whatever it is.
Yes, I was, you know, just going back to like the early days, is that I was really fortunate. I was in the right place at the right time. This was not intentional at all, but I started blogging in 2004, and I saw it like within moments of setting up my first blog on TypePad, I saw the opportunity and the potential for small business owners and entrepreneurs of blogging for their business. I mean, it was just a light bulb moment. And I was there at the beginning, you know, roughly the beginning of when people started looking at blogs as a business tool. And that really propelled me. Not everybody's going to have that, you know, like be in that spot. But if you can be on the lookout for things, and if you see an opportunity, you know, at least test it out. At least take a look at it and see, is this going to help me? Is it going to help my business? Is it going to help other people?
Mm-hmm. And anything that you can do to bring people back to that central hub where you have your offers and things on there, and then make sure that it's clean and lean so that it loads fast for them and no matter what device they're on, and that it's secure so it stays up.
There you go. That's it in a nutshell.
basically. Well, there you go, everybody. So now you've got the, you know, all the information you need to start a successful site. There it is.
Denise, really, your content has to be really good too, and you have to have a strategy for bringing people back to it. But you know, there's more to this picture. But yes, that's the foundational piece right there.
Absolutely. Denise, we have just barely scratched the surface. You're going to have to come back. That's okay. All there is to it, because we've got plenty more that we can dive deeper into very specific things, especially, you know, with the way you've got your site, with all the different things you've got on it, because we didn't even get to talk about some of these new integrations that you've got with things like SoundCloud and how great that's been, and trying some of these newer platforms and how wonderful that's been for your site, the visibility that that's given you. So we may have to do another one of these where we can dive into specifics on your site, you know, what's going on with this thing, why you chose to use that, and what you've seen with the success that that's brought you for that.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Denise.
You're welcome, Anna. It's been a pleasure. I always love talking with you.
Thank you for joining me on the Blogaid interview series and subscribing to this podcast. Be sure to visit blogaid.net for links to our guests and a timestamp index of the show notes.